This is an interview with Pat Dooley. This is tape one, side B. So you started out at Immaculate Heart.
Yeah, I went there the first grade. The second grade, this kind of got a little interesting sidelight. My mother would work for a telephone company as an operator. I guess they had hundreds of them. That's the one where you say, number please, you know.
Right.
And was moved, or at least we moved to San Francisco. And for 1 year, I went to St. Boniface School in San Francisco, right downtown someplace. I don't know exactly where we live, but California and Polk Street or Post or something like that. But as always in it, they had ever lived in apartments. And across the airwell from the apartment in which we lived were two kids, a son who was a couple of years older than I and a daughter who was a couple of years younger. Hmm. I won't tell you I played with them, although I did to some extent, but that's mainly because they were musicians. A guy who turned out to be Yehudi Menuhin and his sister Hepzibah.
Is that right?
That's true, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever keep up any kind of contact
with them? No. No. No.
Huh?
No.
And that was in second grade?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then the third grade, we came back to Portland, and I went back to Immaculate Heart School. Seventh grade, I was in St. Stephen's School up in Belmont area.
Hmm.
That's the year that I got out early because the school burned down right at about Easter time.
How did it burn? Does anything?
I don't know. But she sure burned down.
So you went to Catholic schools then?
Yeah.
Exclusively?
Yeah.
And was there any ever discussion of your going to public school?
No. Oh.
You just presumed that you were going to go to Catholic school. And,
yeah.
How would you contrast to your knowledge your education in a Catholic school with the public school system?
You mean the quality?
Well, quality or subject matter?
Well, subject matter. Of course, you always had a class in religion. You had the old mm-hmm. Baltimore Catechism that you learned about. Who made man? God made man. Mm-hmm. God made man in his image and likeness. That's question and answer kind of format. And that's probably the only thing additional. There were some things we missed. You didn't have physical education as such. You didn't have any manual arts, no manual training. The girls did not have cooking or sewing or such mm-hmm. as that. So there was, but you had all the academic subjects, and by golly, you learned them or you didn't go through. When I was in the eighth grade, geez, we had kids in the eighth grade just finishing grade school that were 16, 17 years old. They shaved. And they were big kids.
So they were pretty strict.
Oh, sure. You flunked. If you didn't learn the course, you flunked. Uh-huh. You took the year over again.
And as far as discipline went?
Discipline was not much of a problem, by my recollection. Mm-hmm. Of course, I wasn't enforcing it, so I didn't see. But the kids were taught respect for those nuns and for those priests. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't show it, they might get disciplined at school, but they'd really catch hell when they got home. So that was the big difference.
And then, of course, you went to church then on a regular
yeah.
basis as well.
Yeah.
Would you consider your family to have been religious? Or yourself?
Yes. I would, mm-hmm. but I don't consider us to have been very diligent in the overt manifestations of that. Mm-hmm. religious person. Oh, yes, I think we are religious. But not necessarily. I'm not going to be the first one up at the rail.
For communion?
Let me put it to you that way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I personally don't need all that. Like I say, outward manifestations of... Mm-hmm. Can you turn that machine off for a minute?
Okay.
I just thought of a funny...
What kinds of hobbies and activities as a child did you pursue?
Oh, I didn't have any specific... nothing specific. I just... You went to school in the daytime, and you come home, and you play ball or something like that.
Were you involved in any sports?
Beg pardon?
Were you involved in any sports?
I played some football when I finally got to high school. What I used to do quite a bit was swimming. I was a pretty good swimmer.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In high school or grade school?
High school.
In high school. Uh-huh.
Well, I'd say pretty good. I wasn't any champion by any means.
Did you go to a Catholic high school then, too?
No, I started out at Columbia Prep. Went there one term. And then I went to Jefferson for a year. I know the reason why I didn't continue going. I'd rather not state them on the record.
Okay. Were there any particular moments in your childhood where you became basically aware of the larger world out there? Anything that drove that feeling home to you? Events or historical, political, family?
No, you have to understand that. Let's see, when I got out of grade school and started high school, it was 1932. We were in the depths of the Depression. Your civic awareness, if you want to call it that, or it just was involved with the idea of living, mm-hmm. of trying to exist or survive, whatever you want to call it. Well, it was tough times. It was tough times for my mother.
Well, what about the Depression itself? I mean, was that...
I'm talking about. That's,
as far as an event that had a major impact on your life, it sounds like that was...
It sure did.
Do you recall the stock crash?
Oh, yeah. I recall it happening.
Uh-huh.
I think I had a... I forget if it was $3.17 or $3.47 in the Hibernia National Bank in Portland, Oregon, and it closed its doors, and I lost my whole bankroll. Yeah, I remember those. I remember the events. I remember the panic. I remember people in the neighborhood losing their jobs. Yeah.
And what about on your family? How did, you've mentioned a little bit, but what about your mother's work? And
she always found something, apparently always found something to do. They weren't positions all the time. Mm-hmm. For example, I know one time when she cooked for a very prominent family here in Portland, up on Portland Heights, that had a dual benefit. She probably got paid $50 a month or something like that, but she also brought leftovers home.
So it helped keep food on the table.
Yeah,
in both ways. Any witnesses regarding the Depression or events at that time that you recall vividly?
Witnesses?
Well, did you witness particular events surrounding the Depression, or things that you, when you think back to those times, that it represents to you?
What I think of, when I think of it, I don't dwell on it by any means. Mm-hmm. But I observed, and it took me a long time for this to really make an impression, but it did. I observed the absolute ruination of some very, very good people, good men, for example, fathers, be out of work, couldn't support their own family, and it crushed them. Be out of work long enough, you go out and you look, and there's never anything there. You know, when people, in those times, when the way they get a job is just to happen to hit a place at the right time when they needed somebody. They weren't sending out resumes and all that kind of foolishness. It was, and they weren't looking for a position. They were looking for work. Yeah, I saw a lot of good people who were just absolutely destroyed.
How do you think that affected you?
How it affected me? Well, I don't know if it affected me. I guess I developed a sympathetic attitude towards someone in that position. To this day, despite all the current baloney that comes out of this family values and that kind of crap, I'm a firm believer that most persons, a great majority of persons, would prefer to be employed, to have the dignity of being able to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing that can happen to our country today, is to get people self-sufficient. And I don't mean get them, you don't have to drive them, I mean you have to provide the means by which they can be self-sufficient, because I think most of them want to be.
When you're referring to family values, you're referring to the political issue that's currently
yes,
in the campaign.
Yes, all that foolishness.
That Republican theme of family values in the presidential
yeah,
campaign.
Yeah, I didn't mean to turn this into any partisan debate.
But I'm thinking of, in terms of historical perspective, the reference of family values being one of a current issue that is being debated.
Yeah, that I think is a fraudulent issue. Mm-hmm. Do you have any family? I mean, of your own?
Of my own, no, I don't.
Okay, but do you know anybody who would willfully neglect their kids or fail to feed them? Hell, I don't either. People have their family values, all right, but first they have to have the means to provide those that support or their family. Mm-hmm. When they don't have that, it isn't that they don't have family values, it's that they just don't have the means to provide those things.
Well, something that's easy to lose perspective on.
Well, like I said, that's probably the thing that made the biggest impression on me, is the effect that that the failure of our economic system has really had upon people. Not just that they lost their money, many of them lost their dignity, their self-respect, and the whole works, through no fault of their own.
Do you recall when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was elected?
You bet.
Do you recall a particular moment? Do you recall what you were doing and?
Oh, I don't know. At that time, it'd take a couple of days to know whether the fellow was elected. Uh-huh. It didn't in Roosevelt's case, because that was a landslide over. Herbert Hoover is undoubtedly a fine man. in his own way, and would have probably could have been a good president in any other time. But he was whipped before he started. The economic situation beat him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he'd keep talking. In a sense, the present campaign reminds me somewhat about what depression? You know, we're not in it. Things are going up. Baloney. Hoover was saying there'd be a chicken in every pot and two cars in every garage. It wasn't. Just like our present policies are not going to lift us out of the economic doldrums in which we find ourselves.
What
I don't think.
Was that discussed in your family or among your friends, the FDR running for president and during that time?
Well, I'm sure it was, but I don't recall anything specific. Mm-hmm. The only one who voted was my mother, of course. And
right.
It was anybody but Hoover. Of course, we liked Roosevelt. Roosevelt, you know, had a great personality, great radio delivery. You could listen to him and think he was talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something, Clark. I could have just as well been a communist if Roosevelt had not come along. He saved this country from a revolution. Mm. I'm firmly convinced of that. Mm. I say I could have just as well been a communist, not because I necessarily like the idea of a totalitarian state or all that kind of stuff. Put the bread on the table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Put people to work. That was the big attraction, see.
And he was able to deliver.
Well, he did put people. Ultimately come along the WPA and these public work projects, PWA projects, and I think Civilian Conservation Corps, the kids going out and working in the woods, building trails and everything. It's like they, WPA, they used to talk about guys leaning on the shovels. Well, at least they showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a job, menial as it was, and only work a week or two and make $50 a month. But it was something. It gave them it was not a handout. Mm-hmm. And they accomplished some darn good projects. If you've driven out Canyon Road, you see all that stone riprapping up on the...
Yes.
Looks nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That was WPA job. Mm. They accomplished lots. But mostly, as I say, they accomplished giving the guy back a little dignity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bringing home a paycheck instead of a welfare voucher. I should have said relief voucher, because that's what they called it then. Relief.
Is there a difference?
No. I suppose maybe welfare sounds better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's...
Did you travel as a child at all?
Uh-uh.
You didn't go on any vacations or trips or... What about jobs while you were in school?
Well, I had some kids' jobs, like carrying a paper out, and I worked in a drugstore. I'd throw in wood.
Did you, which paper did you deliver? Was it the Oregonian?
No, here in Portland,
yeah.
I had a route, the old Portland Telegram.
Huh?
Never heard of that one, did you?
Nope.
Well, there was a day when we had four daily papers here. We had the news, You had the Telegram, you had the Oregonian, you had the Journal. Mm-hmm. And later on, the News and the Telegram joined and became the News Telegram. And later on, it went out of business. We had the Journal and the Oregonian, and the Journal went out. Now you got Newhouse, and that's all. And the Oregonian, in my judgment, is not the paper it was.
Really?
Oh, not at all. It was a great newspaper in its day. The Journal was a good newspaper in its day. Yeah. But this Oregonian now is very poor, I think.
And what makes it poor? What made the difference?
Well,
when Newhouse took over.
Well, I won't say just Newhouse taking over. At the time that he took over, it continued still as a pretty good newspaper, but it's gone downhill as far as I am concerned. I think what you get is a lot of wire service stuff, and you can read it on more than one page in the same issue, filler.
Right.
I don't know if maybe there isn't any local news except these daily shootings that we're having, but I think there probably is. We don't seem to have the coverage of it.
Were you involved in any other activities in either grade school or high school?
No.
What about scholastically? How did you do as a student?
I got by. Mm-hmm. That's true. I was not an ambitious student.
Did you have very many friends?
Oh, I had a lot of friends, sure.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah. When, I went to high school in Seattle after second, third, fourth years, and you were well. I don't know how exactly how to say this, except just the way it is. Mm-hmm. I hated it. Of course, any place you would be at that time was bad. The depths of the Depression, mm-hmm. just plain wasn't good. I didn't like it up there, and I didn't move around an awful lot. Mm-hmm. I just went to school and did what I was supposed to do in order to get by. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was that.
And why did you go to Seattle?
My sister wanted to go to the University of Washington. She did. And the first year, she had to pay out-of-state tuition, which my recollection may be entirely faulty, but let's just say out-of-state tuition was $100 a quarter. Resident tuition was about $30. We moved up. That was a big difference, $70. See, three quarters, that's $210 a year. That was a lot of money in 1932 and 33. Mm-hmm. So that's why we moved up there.
Yeah. And what did your mother do up there then?
She worked for a transfer company. Is their office clerk. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then after your sister got through school, you came back down to Portland?
We moved it back here in 1939. I was traveling around. See, in 1936, I should have graduated from high school. I didn't. I I was 2 1/4 credits shy of having enough to graduate. Well, in that summer, I got a job up on Lake Chelan in Washington. You know where that is?
Yes, in central Washington.
Yeah. 40 miles up the lake. Have you ever been up the lake?
I've been around the lake. I haven't been up on the boat.
Well, at that time, and I think it's still this way, the only way up down was on a boat. Mm-hmm. And clear at the head of the lake is a place called Stehekin. Mm-hmm. Well, the stop just before Stehekin is on the south side of the lake is a little landing called Lucerne. Mm-hmm. That was 40 miles up the lake. The only way in and out is on that boat. The reason I got the job is because I was 17 years old and didn't have any wife or family to worry about, and I'd go up and I stayed up there. And it wasn't running in and out. The job paid me 90 cents an hour in 1936. Standard work week was 48 hours, so I was getting $43.20 a week, paying $1.50 a day for board and room. I was a duke. Really. There were guys who'd come over to our house who graduated from the University of Washington that year. They were business administration, engineer, you name it. If they were lucky, they could get a job running an elevator in a downtown office building for $50 a month. And here I am, a snot-nosed kid making $43.20 a week. I wasn't going to go back to school, and I didn't. So I just then I'd just bounce around. I'd work wherever there was work to do.
What other kinds of work did you do during that time?
Clark, I went out looking for work. I wasn't looking for a position. Mm-hmm. You want to know what I did? Yeah, I did lots of different kinds of construction work, all as a helper now. I never became good enough in anything to be a journeyman, but hell, I shoveled sand and gravel into concrete mixers. You know, they didn't have ready mix stuff.
Right. And you had the piles of things that you would mix in the mixer.
I carried a hod for a bricklayer, packed lumber for carpenters. Whatever there was to do, I'd do it. Like I said, I wasn't looking for a position.